Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? Welcome now to a reading of God's Word together. And this morning's reading is Matthew 16, verses 21 to 28. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their own soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." That is the word of the Lord. And now I'll hand you over to Craig. Thank you.
Well, hopefully you can hear me now and we're back together. Thanks, Dave, for that reading, and thanks everyone for taking part. And my apologies for the bumpiness of this experience. We said right at the beginning of our time that we are not professionals and we're in this morning. So thanks for sticking with us, if indeed you have. Well done for that. I'm not sure really in some ways that any of us can still quite believe what is happening in our world right now. The fact that the UK is in lockdown, that much of Europe is bracing ourselves for more and more issues. Our lives have been overwhelmingly changed in the last couple of weeks. Most of us are now working from home, where we're now sharing our living space, our eating space, our sleeping space with our nearest and dearest, and realizing that the nearer they are, the less dear some of them are becoming. yet in all of this, normality is happening too. This sort of like weird clash of the strange crises and normal life as well. And so we're in this sort of strange world. Like, my home insurance still needs to be renewed. The bathroom tap is still needing fixing. And this week we celebrated my daughter's birthday. Like, in the chaos of the massive, normal stuff is happening too. And I think, I don't know, there are moments in our lives, it seems, where these big, imponderable, massive issues of life and death sort of smash into our normal realities. I just celebrated, just mentioned then that this week we celebrated my daughter's birthday. So my wife and I were recalling about the reality of that time when she was born, and the massiveness of that moment then that changed everything suddenly. And how we went from just the two of us to then three of us, this little baby in our lives, and how that changes massively, not in the sort of lovey-dovey, gooey way that many of us know, but it was really hard. It was nuts. Like the sleeplessness, the feeding routine, all of that. It was just chaos smashed into our reality. But then within 4 or 5 weeks of her birth, we found ourselves in Birmingham Children's Hospital, with our daughter struggling, fighting for her life because of a condition with her liver. All of a sudden, our perspective, our reality changed again. Praise God, that fight was won, of course, but that moment changed our perspective. Suddenly, the sleeplessness became a little easier to deal with. You know what I mean? Like, suddenly, big things hit us and our perspectives change. The Bible passage that Dave just read to us It comes from the gospel account of Matthew. And if you've read Matthew's gospel, if you've read the New Testament, this marks what David's just read. It marks a turning point in the life and in the mission of Jesus. Matthew's telling the account so far of the miracles, the words, the actions of Jesus. And now how Matthew comes into this point now, showing that Jesus is the one that has been fulfilling God's promises, has been talking about being the one that all the promises and prophecies of God have been fulfilling themselves in Jesus. And now ultimately, from this point on, the passage says, Jesus begins to explain something different. Something there's now a step change has happened. The focus shift to what the miracles were pointing to, what the teaching had been pointing towards. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, not for a holiday now, of course, but to suffer, Matthew says, to suffer, to die. And with the prediction of death also comes the prediction of resurrection. This march now to Easter, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem to suffer, to die, and to rise again. The message of Christianity, Jesus died and Jesus rose again. And if those two statements are true, then everything has changed. This passage talks about the great challenges of following Jesus, that it's not an easy road, that it's not filled with candy floss and high fives all the time, that being a Christian means having conflict with the ease and the comfort of our lives. It means potential suffering and hardship. It means self-denial for some people around the world today. It means even losing their lives for following Jesus. The cost of following Jesus is it could be immense, but the benefit is phenomenal of life and truth and joy in knowing God through Jesus Christ. And in this specifically, in the rewards of life for our souls. And right in the middle of all this teaching that Jesus is giving, he asks a phenomenally massive question. He says right in the middle, verse 26, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet lose their souls? We've learned again and again over the last couple of weeks how critical it is to look after our bodies when everything else is stripped away, that regular sort of hand washing, that looking after our bodies is critically important, that exercise is sensible, that staying away or having boundaries around this is useful to keep others safe. Looking after our bodies is critical. But our bodies, as we've seen tragically, the reality, our bodies are not going to live forever. However fit or young or handsome some of us are, there will come a day when all of that will change. When the reality of these big things smash into our own lives. And so Jesus' question is massive. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? What good will it be if you've got everything but lose the one thing that will last forever? It is what we do in some ways, you know, like we want to gain things. There's this stuff in that. We want money. We need to work, so we want money so that we can go places and buy things. We want to have healthy, flourishing relationships that meet our emotional, our physical, our sexual needs and wants in the way that we want when we want them. We want power. Not maybe in like a dictatorial way, although sometimes that'll be useful in our lives, in our home circumstances sometimes, I guess, but not anything like that. But we do want the control, to sort of feel in control of our choices, of our destiny. We want to be able to believe that we want, and what we set our mind to, we can get. We want to gain the world. And there's nothing wrong in that. You can do a lot with money. You can do a lot of good with money. There's worse things than being in a healthy, loving relationship with someone and having choices in your lives that can then make brilliant decisions. But if we think that is it, if we think that's it, that if gaining the whole world becomes the sort of like yardstick for our lives, then what good will it be or do? Because tragically, as we've seen on our news feeds over the last few weeks, death is real. We're all going to die. Sometimes that big stuff just comes and smashes us in the face. And so Jesus' question, Jesus' challenge is massive. It's huge. It challenges our priorities, our body, our soul. As the body will die, the soul will live. And so it would be wiser to concentrate on the things that would last. Our soul, said Jesus, can be forfeited, can be lost. And the question then challenges us to make a right choice in light of that. And that choice that can be made could be a good one. Soul or body is a massive question. It is a perspective challenging question. What good would it be? And in this topsy-turvy world right now, where everything is shaking, examining what is important to us seems to be front and center in our minds. We're not able to see family or friends in the way that we were just a few days ago, just a few weeks ago. We're not able to do the things that we so glibly took for granted just a short while ago. Everything is now changed. And so what is important? Has our perspective altered? And the question of Jesus in the middle of all of these sort of philosophical examination is critical. What good will it be, my friends? What good would it be if tomorrow lockdown ended? If coronavirus disappeared, if everyone was well again, if the economy starts to bounce, if the markets rise and it all goes back to normal, if I finally get to move house this year, then what good would it be if I get all of those things and yet lose the one thing that will last forever? Jesus, says Matthew, is on his way now to Jerusalem. And he's going to suffer, he says. Why? Because how else could God sort of show us his reality and empathize with the marginalized, with the vulnerable, with the poor, with the hurting? How else could he enter into our world of pain in this world, of pain in our hearts? How else could he do that? The perfect Son of God, how could he do that? He was going to suffer. This perfect Son of God, Jesus, the rescuer, the promised one, steps into our world of pain and feels it, feels our isolation, our suffering, our sickness, our rejection, our loneliness. He knows the pain that we're in. Matthew tells us that he's going to Jerusalem to die. Why? Because, says the Bible, God so loved this world, you and I in it, that he sent Jesus, his son, so that whoever would believe in him would be at the end of all things, not perish and die forever, but instead have forgiveness and rescue and life. God's love for you and I sent Jesus to die, taking all of our rubbish and separateness from God, what the Bible repeatedly calls our sin. And in doing so, Jesus becomes our substitute, taking the legal, the moral punishment of our sin, placing it on himself so that we could be set free and live in the eternal consequences of that reality. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to suffer, to die, but Jesus is going to Jerusalem to rise from the dead. Why? Because whilst he knows what it feels like, no amount of suffering or pain or rejection or loneliness, no amount of sickness or sin or death can snuff out the love of God. Jesus rose from the dead, winning rescue for all who would put their trust in him. So the friends and followers of Jesus encountered him in loads of different ways. They in loads of different circumstances, and in them all, particularly in this one, Jesus, with his loving, truthful questions, calls us to examine our priorities, to look at what is important, to consider these things. And in doing so, he gives us the pointer to the good choice, the best of all choices, the choosing Jesus that believing in him and following in him will lead to the fullest and greatest of lives, the winning of our very souls. So in this season of social distancing, Jesus wants to come near. He is virus free. He's washed his hands. His hands are clean. He wants to breathe his life and energy into us, and you can choose to let him in. You can do it by saying sorry. Sorry for rejecting him. Sorry for ignoring him. Sorry for the stuff that has separated us from him. We can say thank you. Thank you that before we even ever considered it, that Jesus came looking for us. Thank you for his love. Thank you for dying for us. We can say, please, please come into our hearts. Please forgive us. Please change us. Sorry. Thank you. Please start the conversation of a life of transformation in a perspective altering reality that Jesus challenges us with. And so, and if we're a follower of Jesus already, if we're already loving him and knowing him, then we mustn't be surprised in moments of tragedy or suffering, because Jesus went there before us. So that in these moments, we need ever, ever, ever be alone. And so trust in him now. I'd like to pray for you, for me, and for our families in this season. And please, will you join me in praying now? Father, thank you that in Jesus, we have someone who is, when all the perspective of our life shifts, when everything around us shakes, thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you that in him there is life. And I pray, Lord, for all of us listening and watching, I pray, Lord, that in this season of shaking, I pray, Lord, that we'll have a perspective change, and that questioning who Jesus truly is will change our very being. For what good would it be if we got everything back and more, and yet lose the thing that will last forever? And so I pray for your forgiveness, your change, your love, your transformation to touch all of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, this has been really bumpy this morning. I'm really sorry for it. Please keep with us. We're going to go back to Josh and Shauna now, hopefully, where we will sing one more time together. And so let's do that now.